Hey friends, it's your friendly neighborhood podcast. We have thoughts.
Your friendly neighborhood podcast.
Yeah, exactly. Friendly like it. Neighborhood.
It was almost British too.
How you doing, friends? Hope you're well. We are going to talk about Girl Meets World. And yay. We're going to pick a random episode and discuss. It's Girl Meets World, season 3, episode 2, Girl Meets High School, part 2. My name is Crystal.
My name is Joy.
My name is Anna.
And we're a rap group now. Yeah.
That's not my name.
That's not my name. They call me
We know words to songs.
You know when, what? Some songs.
When Joy and I don't know the words, we just sing words.
We've had some beautiful, beautiful acoustic moments in the car singing. Yeah. Wow. Just words.
Yeah.
That's gorgeous.
That's great.
Well, good job.
Okay, so here's your quick synopsis. This is part 2 of 2. The gang adjust to the rigors of high school, and some join sports teams while others participate in academic clubs.
So we should say beforehand that Anna and I have seen the show before. We watched it while it aired.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yes. Girl.
Wait, it's not on air anymore?
No, it got canceled or ended or something. I don't know.
Just complete.
Yeah, what did I... I enjoyed it for the most part, mm-hmm. but I had to remember that it wasn't made for me. Like, that's not the I'm not the demographic.
Right.
So anytime I had a problem with it, I was like, well, okay, the kids might like this, but I think it's annoying or whatever.
Yeah.
But for the most part, I did like it because I watched Boy Meets World back in the day.
Me right. Because it's like, yeah, I definitely, yeah.
I mean, because they're the only reason I tuned in to begin with.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Because they were.
I love those characters.
Yeah, it was so great. I had never seen this before. Mm-mm. I had just seen like clips of it and stuff, but had not sit down and watched the full thing. Yeah. I was like, of course, you know, it's not for me. That's what Raven was for me when I was that age, but like, I'm not that age, so this is not for me. But I do like that it like, it was mature without like being too mature. Does that make sense?
Is that a question? Does that make sense? I don't know.
Oh, I had to repeat myself over and over. I had to keep telling a customer yesterday, does that make sense? Because she was literally a fucking idiot. Like, I told her, I was like, we're going to do this. Basic. Simple. She was like, but how? And I was like,
that's not your job.
No, I'm going to do it.
How?
Ugh,
I can
gross.
See her in my head and I don't like her.
Yeah, I didn't like her either.
I can see what she looks like because I know that customer and I'm like, ugh.
But how? That
magic
is that gonna can you do that?
I'm gonna like, bibbity bobbity boo some shit and it's gonna work.
I wish,
bitch, if say. I could, my job would be so easy. I would not have a job. I just go wave a wand, poof, you're done.
Someone's gotta wave the wand.
Exactly, you're the wand waver.
And I'm
and that's how I'm getting carpal tunnel
special skill.
Anyways, so this show,
what were you gonna say? You pointed at me. Oh, and then
Yeah, so you said the show wasn't for you, and because that's where it was for you. Mm-hmm. I think because we had talked about this when the show was airing, that, like, overall, shows like this now, I hate saying this like an old person, nowadays, they're just not as, they focus a lot on the children, and Boy Meets World, for example, was, the adults were really great about.
Especially in the early seasons, they focused so much on the whole family.
It wasn't so much just, like, about Corey and his stuff. It was Corey and his parents and his brother and his sister and how his teacher and how all of that was mixed together as one. It felt, that's why it didn't feel like a kid's show to me. It felt like a family show.
Like a family sitcom.
Yeah, and Girl Meets World was, like, because it's on Disney Channel, so it's just different. So, and also, this was the first of the whole, like, reboot of that on this channel anyway.
What else have they rebooted?
Like, well, That's a Raven.
Oh, yeah.
And I feel like the mistakes that they've made, and I say made, but they weren't really mistakes, with Girl Meets World, they rectified with
Raven,
for sure.
Well, you can't call it Raven's Home without Raven being a central part of the story.
True. But they could have. I mean, they could have.
Yeah, I think they were trying to mimic more those later seasons of Boy Meets World, where it was focused on Corey and his friends.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, you're right.
With but they just, were older, with though. Just a with just a touch of
parenting
and little brother.
But the moments also, that the parents came in, sorry.
No, go ahead.
The moments that the parents came in, I was like, what?
And there was.
It was so cute. And it was so, like, nice how I think we've talked about it before, actually, with Chrissy and Jason and Vincent, how like you talk to your kids, but you talk to them like people. Talk to them like you're a baby. You know, you talk to them like you would talk to any other person.
Yeah.
You give them that respect to that.
Whatever. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There was some really, I think a lot of my issue with Disney Channel is that it's just a little too wholesome. And I get it. It's the Disney Channel.
Right.
But they could go a little grittier, a little edgier, but not cross the line. Yeah. But there were some really great episodes in Girl Meets World, like where Riley gets bullied. That was a really great episode and a great performance by Rowan Blanchard.
I like the show, but it felt slightly a little bit like, I wrote it down.
Hold on. Like an after school special?
Yes. Like just a little bit too much. Like this is the lesson. Like, and that kind of got on my nerves. Yeah. But maybe because it was Disney Channel and not like.
The lessons were too obvious.
On the nose.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It could have been a little more on the edge. And not let things wrap up so pretty every time.
Yeah, right. That was my
and
issue.
And not let the theme be like shoved in your face. It could have been a little more abstract and subtle, but and still be great.
Yeah, right. For things that I didn't like about it, I did like a lot of, I loved the Riley and, Maya relationship. I really like their friendship. And and when they gave Lucas, when they realized he, the tall blonde kid, when they realized he was funny and they gave him like comedic timing, it was much more enjoyable because they were trying to make him like this jock, like
heartthrob.
And it just wasn't working in the first season. But they figured out who he was as a person and they put that as an actor, so they put it into the character and it worked so much better.
So well.
I do have a note about him. I was like, everything else, I the amount of hair and makeup used in the show, I was good with until it got to him. And I was like, why is he wearing 17 layers of foundation? Who baked his face? He been watching too many makeup videos on makeup tutorials on YouTube? Because literally, like, his face is baked. Like there's baked. No, you can't see his pores. There's nothing.
Also, he's very young.
I know, but like you can tell when someone's young and not wearing makeup, and you can tell when very makeup. Yeah.
Well, also, and he was way older than everyone else.
Yeah.
I figured he's that because like, so he doesn't 19, look
right.
He was like 17 during the when show, yeah. They were making it. Yeah.
And Riley's was like 13. 14.
Oh.
Riley's the smallest one.
Yeah, I think she was like 12 when they first started.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of these kids after the show for sure.
Me too.
I really like Rowan Blanchard. Can't think of his Farkle, the actor's
Corey
name.
Corey
something. I think he's really great. He's really I like his
me
vibe.
Too. Cool. I think Rowan Blanchard is amazing.
She's amazing. She's an amazing person. Since she started with this, I've been following her just like on Twitter and on other Instagram or whatever, and just who she is as a person really
she's amazing,
beautiful. It's really enjoyable.
She's wise beyond her years.
Oh yeah, she's like a little old lady.
She's who I want to be when I grow up.
Right. she's a very strong, very very intelligent woman for sure.
Yeah.
My first note
so
on here.
Joy got to enjoy my jamming out to the theme song this time instead of you. You didn't like it, right?
You didn't like the theme song?
I liked it. No, because I liked this theme because it was like Boy Meets World.
Oh, yeah. That's again, what I wrote
theme
that
song
down.
Felt very like Disney to me.
I loved it. I was jamming. Yes,
the opening sequence was adorable, though. I like the like throwback to like the water over the the
it's fire basically escape. Shot for shot, more or less.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was really that. Cute. Riley's outfit in the opening sequence, the little tulle skirt. You can never go wrong with the little tulle skirt. And she was wearing the suspenders. I was like, I'm feeling very like Carrie Bradshaw, and I like it. Like Carrie Bradshaw for tweens.
Their wardrobe is great.
Their wardrobe budget. Hello. Somebody give me that money. Let me shop.
You know, but it's not that expensive because I literally saw a shirt she was wearing one time at Old Navy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not,
it's
you
just
know.
Curating and mixing the right things. But I don't remember any girls in my middle school or high school really wearing heels as much as these girls did.
It's for the camera.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah.
Because especially Maya is so short.
She's so tiny.
She's thin against Riley, who's already super tall.
But I forgot. It's so funny, though, that they wear like heels and makeup and all that stuff when I was like, when we were in junior high, like eyeliner and like lip gloss.
I remember
the makeup was pretty minimal in the first season.
We talked about, like, do you remember when people used to wear white eyeliner? Remember
that? Yes.
that trend. I told her though, I did buy one recently only because it does, if you put it on your
in the corner
and underneath your on your waterline on the bottom, it does open up your eyes and make them look brighter and bigger. And I did that and it did. And then Johnny got scared. But yeah, no, I appreciate that for the most part they looked their age.
Yeah.
For the most part.
The laugh track is much more annoying than I remember. I don't know, especially in the first, like, the cold open.
I didn't even notice that. Right,
I didn't either.
First thing I noticed, I was like, oh,
this is just bad. Like, I was overtaken by the cuteness.
Okay, so I have a question for you two. Mm-hmm. So this episode, they're, you know, starting high school and they're nervous. How did y'all feel about starting high school?
Oh, bitch, that was a whole thing because I was coming from the Valley. I didn't know anybody.
Yeah. You had 1 year here, yeah.
I had, and it wasn't even, because, like, it's like a regular school where it's up to 8th grade in junior high, and then 9th grade you go to high school. So I was like ready to go to high school, and then I was back at Central and I was in junior high.
We should preface this by saying to our the listeners, the two of them, that we went to high schools where it was 3 years as opposed to four. So we had
So they had 10 through 12.
10, 11, 12, and not 9, 10, 11, 12.
Yeah.
So.
And the district that I came from was like a regular school where it was like.
Which I don't get why it's like six that, but whatever.
I don't know. Whatever. Ask H-E-B. Ooh, but
don't be dropping hints where we live.
Name dropping.
We've said it so many
times.
We've
said it. We've talked about our high schools. So it was really weird because I was like, I wasn't the only Mexican, but it was pretty very much noticeably different because like my school down in the Valley, it was only Mexico. Mexican people. It basically was Mexico. And so when I moved here, I remember people asking me questions about Mexico and telling me to curse in Spanish with them. And I was like, oh my God, I'm just. Let me live, like, stop. So that was
I should have run that intense. Way, like, I'm so cool. I'm Mexican.
Right? I should have run with that, but yeah. I was not that confident at that age.
Well, me neither. It was not so, happening. Whatever.
Anna, how was your high school?
I'm trying to remember.
Did you block it out?
That transition. Freshman year was the year I lost a lot of my friends. Like, we kind of parted ways.
Oh, yeah.
So
that's hard.
I had a group of friends, and they were all in the orchestra. And so they would have orchestra first period, so they went to hang out in the orchestra room before school. So I would just go hang out in there with them until the bell rang. I kind of had choir as a little bit of a safe place at first because I knew what I was doing in there. But other than that, I was really just alone. Like, I did not... Like I said in a few episodes ago, like, high school is really when I started to retreat in. It's when I stopped really participating in classes and actively seeking new friends. So it was the start of a lonely journey.
That's the start of a love of music and TV and books and obsessions.
Well, that had already been there. But what happened is I got rid of my friends who weren't okay with that.
Yeah.
And I got rid of the friends who didn't like me for me.
Right. And then in hindsight... We can say, like, oh, that's good, because...
Yeah. And I eventually... I mean, there was usually somebody in every class that I could kind of talk to.
Yeah.
I wasn't completely alone. I wasn't one of those persons. I wasn't one of those people that had friends outside of class. My junior year, I took a dance class for my PE, and I made two friends in there, and they were sophomores, and we kind of stuck together. So every half day, we went and had lunch and partied. We drove around and listened to music.
That's a party.
That was definitely a party for us too.
Yeah. I clung on to them.
Mm-hmm.
And so like after sophomore year, I hung out in the mornings with them and in the halls or whatever. But high school is just weird.
High school is such a strange thing. Cause like, I don't remember it being the worst, but I don't remember it being amazing. I just remember like bits and pieces of it being really great. And like, I had one friend who I'm still friends with now. And then everyone else, I knew a lot of people because of what I did, like taking photos. I just met everybody in every club and every sport, whatever. They didn't really know me and I didn't really know them, but I just knew of them.
Yeah.
So yeah, in every class I could have someone to sit with or whatever, but I would spend lunch by myself and my yearbook teacher. Cause like I was more interested in like either like art or photos to hang out with anybody. And then even when I remember having lunch with other people that were like friends but more like acquaintances, and I was like, this feels really weird, like I don't feel like I should be here right now.
I had sophomore year, I remember having lunch a little bit in the cafeteria, because we didn't know that was like cool yet. And I sat with a couple of people I knew. One of them, Megan, she died a few years ago. And then junior year, I would just go buy things from the vending machines and sit in the trophy hall where right outside the gym. And then senior year, we could go off campus, and I was off campus always every off day. Campus. Yeah. I would go home. I lived 5 minutes from the school.
That's true.
I would go home, and there was one try, because we also had trimesters.
Because our schools are so extra.
And one try, I was a teacher aide.
I loved when I did that.
For whatever lunch period that was. And sometimes I'd walk out there. He was in a portable and I'd be like, hey. And he goes, I got nothing for you today. Take all three lunches. So I'd go nice. Home, make a pizza, watch a movie, come back to school.
That's yeah. awesome.
And I always had last period release in senior year. So.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. I did so many things. I never had a release period. I was okay. Because like, I wanted to do three things. I wanted to do choir, I wanted to do art, and I wanted to do yearbook photos. But you could only pick two.
Right.
And still be able to like finish your like required classes. But who cares about required math? I don't care about it. I had to drop one of them, and I had to drop choir, and I was so upset. I was so sad. I just want to do everything. I don't know how to not do everything.
And I dropped choir my junior year.
Huh. So did I.
So I didn't do it my senior year. What was your high school transition like?
Well, I feel really...
Is that when you fell in love with the grassy?
Well, yes. I felt really guilty because mine was not sad.
Don't feel guilty.
I lucked out.
It's just different people's experiences.
You had a big group that you were going into.
Yeah, so I was in band in junior high. So I was friends with people who were in a grade above me. So by the time I got to high school, I knew all those people.
Mm-hmm.
So it was not as scary because they were literally holding my hand.
Oh, like in the show.
That was so cute. So with band and color guard and at my high school, we start rehearsing and practicing a month before school even starts.
Right.
So for the first first day of school, I'm walking into campus and I know like
you've already been there,
like 30 people already.
Right.
Forget that like not everyone goes through that, so mm-hmm. that's like a really great feeling to walk into, even though I'm a sophomore and I'm like, oh my god, I know everybody. So that was cool. But yeah, my friends didn't leave me till after high school. Everyone started
also,
doing
they got to
yeah
stick around a while,
so that's when I felt that
yeah
it was I was like, oh, I have no friends. And that's when I learned that like your friends are the ones who are going to stay with you through either
the
job you have or the class you have or the whatever event you have together.
I'm not crying. No. I love you, fool.
I love you, bitch.
Because I've been in...
I'm never going to stop loving you, bitch.
I don't know what that's from.
Vine.
Oh, okay.
Always assume Vine.
That's yeah. true. You're right.
We're idiots. We can't make anything up.
Because the friends I had in high school or the friends I made through like a job or I did community theater for a while there. So people I met through that, the ones who, that's when I realized like, oh, the ones who matter are the ones I still talk to this day.
I have three friends that I still talk to from high school. One of them, we didn't even become friends till like our second half of senior year.
I love that.
And then we just went out to Wendy's every day. Because dollar menu, hello. I was picking up quarters from the bottom of my car. And then Alex
still does that.
I still do that. Alex is getting married in June. And Jessica has two girls now. So that's cute.
I just, when you were talking, Crystal reminded me of the first day. And you go and you find at our school you had like your teams. Like your homeroom.
Yeah.
Instead of homeroom, we had a teams class. And
we didn't have that.
Ours was in... My group was in the cafeteria my sophomore year with this really random coach. I'm still not sure what he was the coach of, but he was an old, hilarious dude. And so I sat down, and who comes into my group? Everybody I've gone to elementary and junior high with. There was like two people I didn't know. So that was a little comforting. I was like,
aww.
I've known you since I was six. I've known you since I was six. I've known you since fourth grade when you got here. Like, I knew them all. And then we thought that was hilarious. We're like, it's all the Stonegate Central kids. Like, that's so random. the next year, it was more Central Kids that joined our
our team. It's so funny that you say that, because mine was a similar experience, except it was only one person. And so my team's class was no one I knew except for, but the only person I knew that I knew was the guy I grew up with, who he lived down the street from me.
Oh, that who, same guy?
Yeah, and he was there. He's like, Crystal, come sit next to me because I don't know these people. And I was like, yay.
That's so cute. So
we like divided and conquered, like to know the people in the group and stuff. So it was that similar experience.
You know what? Hearing you guys say that, I'm like, I kind of do wish that I had stuck with the same group of people since I was in elementary school. And I would have not moved.
Did you keep in contact with any of those people?
Yeah. Okay. So you remember, was it last year I went to San Diego to go visit Itza? And Itza, I've known her since we were in elementary school, since like third grade or so, I think.
That's cute.
And she's in like Guam now. She's in the Navy, so she's
good for her.
Yeah, that's how I got to see her in San Diego. And then there's a couple. Leslie now is like Instagram famous.
Is she really?
Kind of, yeah. Like, she's becoming more of a big deal, and I'm like secretly so happy for her. Is she like
Instagram model or something?
Yeah, I'll show you her Instagram later.
Oh my god, okay.
It's really great.
Okay.
She travels everywhere. I'm like, Paige, give me these travel deals. How are you going to Colorado for $60?
Let me be your manager.
Right. Let me take your photos.
I'll carry your bags for you.
But like, other than that, like that, there's some people here and there that I still will like follow on Facebook or Instagram or whatever. But I'm like, dang, I wish I could have stayed over there. But also, I would not have. No. I already wanted, when I lived over there, I had this intense feeling of wanting to get out of there already.
Mm. Yeah.
So at least I got somewhere out of there.
Yeah. Then you would have met us.
That's true.
I'm going to cry again. Shit. I didn't mean
to. You don't understand. Anna was like crying during the episode.
I was. The do good scene.
Oh, girl. We're not even there yet, but we'll get there.
Okay. Well, let's get there now.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Focus. Corey being her teacher. First of all, my heart. I didn't know that was how that worked. And I was like, Mr. Feeny.
Now Joy is crying.
That's fine. I'm on my period. I have hormones.
So most schools in New York don't have football teams. So I think it's hilarious that they're trying out for the football team.
Right. I thought that too. I was like, there's no field.
Because there's no space for it.
Because they're in Manhattan.
You can do basketball, maybe.
Yeah, well, the sport of New York basically is basketball because it's easy. They don't have to have like a lot of.
Yeah, and court. Like some baseball.
So the fact that they're playing trying a football team is hilarious to me.
Yeah, there's no room for that. That's why you have Texas, where there's fields and fields and fields of grass.
All of those football players look like they're 35.
Seriously.
I think that's why they didn't speak. They had no dialogue.
Because you would be able to hear the, hey.
Which I know they did so that we could really feel how uncomfortable the kids were. Right,
yeah.
I just think it's funny.
But it's hilarious.
It was really funny, like the size difference. Like these guys were like here and the other guys were like there.
I know, it's so funny.
I put sweet baby Lucas and Farkle. I want a Lucas and Farkle. When they were sitting there, like, I can't protect them, and we abandoned them, and how could I do that? And we don't deserve them. I was like,
these kids.
One of my favorite moments.
Good guy friends.
What's my favorite? We're whenever cute. They're at the coffee shop, and Riley does something, and Lucas goes, "How can you not love that? How can you not whatever he says about her?" It was they're so cute,
adorable.
I never really liked that they try to put him with Maya.
Who? Athletic dude?
I didn't like that. They made it a love triangle and I didn't like it. Because he was...
So they mentioned love triangle and I was like, puke.
Because Riley is so perfect for
Lucas.
She's
so pure.
And that Lucas is so like... Lufus. Oh my God. I don't know. He just fit better with Riley. And Maya just felt like...
I get what they were trying to do. They were trying to create the Joey Pacey thing.
Stupid.
But it didn't work.
No, it didn't work. It didn't fit.
I don't think it was appropriate in this context. Venue.
Mm-hmm. No. I don't know. It was annoying. I wrote that intro with the heart because that was cute. Zay was a great addition to the cast.
Yes.
Who?
The black kid.
Okay.
Isaiah is his name. They call him Zay. So Lucas is from Texas. He's from Austin. And he moves to
New York
randomly.
That's what I was like, who's from Texas?
Lucas is. Well, Zay is too. Zay and Lucas went to school together in Austin.
Aww.
So they randomly came together. I don't know.
Lucas got into some trouble.
That's right.
He's really strong. That's why every time he touched him, he's like, would you stop hurting me?
Oh, yeah.
Because Lucas is like super strong. He beat up some kid, I think. Oh, or got into a fight and punched a kid. And he was sent up here to live with somebody.
New York City. When nothing bad happens.
And I think
fought more people, so I could get sent to New York City. Jeez.
So I guess Zay like tracked him down because he loves him or something. I don't know.
Aww. I don't remember. Cute. Yeah.
I don't remember how he does that, but yeah. So they're from Texas. Aww. So when Zay came, it was a good. They played off each other really well.
Yeah. So he needed like another guy there.
Well, no, because
him and Farkle were great. Him and
Farkle, but their relationship is different than. Yeah. I don't know. It was a good. They were a good match. Did any of y'all have an imaginary friend?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Like Anna, that's the proper answer for Anna. If you know Anna, I feel like that's... No, nothing.
Yes.
Did you, Joy?
I don't think I did.
I didn't have one, like a friend, but I did talk to myself a lot. I did talk to myself in the mirror. Like, conversations I would play out.
I still do that.
Oh, like I would play out situations out loud. Joy, you too?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. But a friend, no. Not a specific friend or a pet or something.
Yeah, I don't remember. No, I don't think so.
I want to say two.
Oh.
Their names were Molly and Erica, which I always thought was weird because I had a cousin named Erica. I don't remember which one, but I got really mad at her and threw a football at her and she never came back.
Oh,
wow. Oh.
Tiffy.
I don't remember what I was mad about. I don't remember if it was Erica or Molly. I don't know what happened to the other one, but I got really mad and I threw a football at her.
Well, what I mean, did you actually throw the football at
her?
Okay, sorry.
So
I mean, yes.
Collectively now we have Joffrey.
I'm one of those who believes that imaginary friends are real, and that we just stop seeing them when we stop needing them.
Interesting.
Oh my God, did you watch Foster's Home for Imaginary Friends?
I did not.
Okay, because that's literally the whole thing of that. Since all my brothers are younger than me, even past cartoon age, I was still watching cartoons because they were watching cartoons and I was babysitting them. So one of the shows was Foster's Home for Imaginary Friends. And it's like a foster home where all imaginary friends, once the kids stop needing them, they all go there.
Mm. That's adorable.
That show was fucking cute. It also had some episodes that I was like crying because it was so... It was so cute.
I saw a GIF one time where, I don't know if it's from the show, but like there's batteries on Blue. The floor and like some like block falls on the batteries and it goes inside the, is that show?
I don't know. You're going to have to find that GIF.
Okay, hold on. Let
me Google. There's a book I read a few years ago and I just re-listened to it on an audiobook a couple months ago. Is If You Could See Me Now by Cecilia Ahern. And it kind of deals with that. This woman is basically the guardian of her nephew because his mom's good for nothing. And he starts seeing an imaginary friend and she's thinking he's crazy or whatever. And it turns out that there's like a company of people that whenever somebody needs a friend, they dispatch the best person that's available and they go and be their friend and they make them happy and they make them feel good about themselves. And then when it's time to go, it's time to go. But of course, in this book, the imaginary friend falls in love with the aunt and tries to find his way out.
Oh.
Anyway, it was a good book. But yeah, I believe that imaginary friends aren't quite as imaginary for the friends they have.
Solid.
Interesting. Is this good? Is that from that show?
No, that is from fuck. Finn and
Phineas and Ferb?
Princess.
Oh.
And Marcellie, the Vampire Queen.
I literally know.
Jesus, why am I not remembering? Oh, I'm so bad at names. Anyways.
It's not that show?
Adventure Time.
Oh, I've never seen that either.
It's so cute. It's so cute. I always, whenever I think of that show, I always think I'll find you guys a YouTube video. But Finn is like dancing in his room and he's like a baby and he's like, I'm a real buff baby, I can dance with my hands, and it's just fucking adorable. I love cartoons. I'll still watch them. I don't care how old they are.
This show, a lot of the times, just made me want to rewatch Boy Meets World.
Yeah, for sure. I actually was watching it the other day. I think it was at my mom's house, and the TV was just on, and it happened to be on there, and so I ended up watching a couple episodes. Mm-hmm. On like some channel, I don't remember.
A few years ago, before it was on Hulu, I bought the first three seasons on iTunes. They were on sale. Mm-hmm. And so those are my go-to happy, like, yeah, they're happy, especially the first three seasons, because it's
when they're so young and
when they're so young, and it's more involved with the parents. After season three, it really kind of starts to shift more towards Corey and the gang.
Yeah.
Cause like there's one episode in the first few, it's the first few episodes where Alan has to work to work overtime, mm-hmm. and he keeps getting called in, and he keeps telling Corey, I promise you, we're going to go do this. We're going to do that. And you know, he's working, he's a manager at a grocery store. Like, he's not making
a ton of money.
So he feels bad. So he makes Corey get up out of bed, or he lets Corey get up out of bed to watch this baseball game. And then the next day, Corey fails a test. And so his mom is like, you can't let him do that. He's like, I just want to spend time with my son. I don't have time to see my kids. And she's like, you're providing for them. And it was this really beautiful story. And I'm like, where is this in family comedies now?
You want to know where it is? It's on One Day at a Time. Because that's so the perfect family sitcom. Yeah. It's still a comedy. And it still involves the parent. It still involves the grandparent. But it still, you know, revolves around the kids, too. It's a very good family show.
All the characters are fully fleshed out.
Every single fucking time I bring this up.
You're right.
Everybody you're go totally fucking right. watch yeah, One seriously. Day at a Time.
I think
because I really want a season four. Season three is coming out.
They sometime. Just wrapped.
I know they just wrapped. Maite from CYC. If you guys don't follow CYC.
She got to go to an episode.
Yeah, she got to go to she a taping. Did? Yeah.
I think she went to the first one,
the first episode of season three.
Oh my god! Because
Maite moved to LA because she's a writer. Right. She's a TV not a TV writer, but she like reviews and stuff. So she got to go to the first taping.
That's amazing.
Yeah, yeah, that's amazing. So if anyone's not watching One Day at a Time, go fucking do it.
Yeah, it's very good.
Please, it's worth your really time. Is. They're half hour one episodes. Day
at a time. And it's a show for everyone, not just a certain person.
No, it's for you've got older people, you've got kids, you've got middle age people, everybody.
Everybody in the club.
Eating chips.
So I didn't cry the last when he's pointing to the sign above his
fucking sign chalkboard. Man.
But I did get like because Mr.
V. I'm also just having a very emotional day. That's like the fourth time I've cried today.
That's fine.
That's and okay. So he said, do good. Don't you mean do well? He goes, no, do good. And
do like, good,
no.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, man. Such a great finale.
I really would love to watch that again, but I don't know that I can. That was just such a good show, and I think it was just on at like the right time of everybody's lives that it really just stuck.
If we ever finish How I Met Your Mother as our dinner show, that should be next.
Okay.
Oh, I forgot to tell you. So for the next, up until January, the store's closing at 8, so I might be home for dinner.
Look at you.
Yay. That's
amazing. I'm happy for it.
Yeah, starting next week? That's why I like the slow season. Yes.
Or this?
Starting Monday.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
So, do you think you'll continue to watch the show, Joy?
I don't know. It's so cute. And I really like seeing Corey and Topanga.
I still haven't finished it.
There are a lot of cameos from the show.
Mm-hmm. People come and back. I have seen that. And so, I really want to see that because I want to see Corey and John again. Because
they're PFFs forever. My God. I'm thinking about people that come back to the show and I want to cry again.
Who else came back?
A lot of people.
So I think when was it last basically year? Everybody. Last year or so, they I think BuzzFeed had an interview with the actor who played Mr. Feeny, Oh, yes. Yes. Yeah. That one made me cry. I was like,
he was on Grey's Anatomy for a while.
Oh, really?
And his character died, and I
lost it. I was like, no.
First of all, it was emotional for him as a character.
Yeah.
And then I was like, it was him. Mr. Feeny.
Oh my gosh.
We would apologize, but no, sorry, not sorry. We're just
emotional very human beings.
Emotional human beings. We're invested in what we watch. Like,
yeah, it's true.
We're stupidly attached to characters.
Which is perfectly normal.
Irrationally attached to characters.
Maybe just a tad. No. Yeah. It's fine. That's perfectly healthy, isn't it?
Yeah, totally.
Uh-huh, nervous laughter.
Do I sound like the Count? Do I laugh like
one
the Count?
One blueberry. That's my impression of the Count.
I fought it and I won.
No. Okay, so.
Yeah, I think.
Is that it
I
for
think
Girl
we're
Meets
good.
World?
Girl Meets World. That's it. Yeah.
Check it out. It's on Netflix.
It's a good one to put on while you're cleaning the house or something.
It's adorable.
It's a cute background.
If you got a child.
If you were a huge fan of Cory and Topanga and all of them back in the day, it's worth your time.
It's sure. Not that much.
I would say so. I'll put it on my list.
It's like three seasons, right?
I'm making an actual list this time because I say all the time that I need to watch a show.
What's on the list?
Currently, it's The Runaways and Versace.
Ooh, Versace.
Because I just finished.
Wait, The Runaways. Got it.
I just finished. Well, because The Runaways is coming back in December or November, I think.
That's Marvel, right?
Marvel adjacent.
Okay, that's
like Venom. It's Marvel
adjacent.
That's
what I mean. In Marvel.
Yeah. Those are the only two I can think of. Oh, okay. So, all right. So, TV movie chatter time.
Oh, okay. So we're moving to that.
Yes.
Okay.
So Crystal came in last night as I was watching The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
Oh, okay.
So. I finally got to episode 2. And I just can't do it.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I just can't.
Why?
It just I don't know. It's like I think I'm having the same issue that I'm having with that show as I did with Glow. Aesthetically and on paper, it's all shit that I should like. All stuff that I enjoy in TV and movies. Costumes are perfect, makeup is perfect, acting is great, blah blah blah, whatever. As a production, it's really well done. But I'm just not enjoying it. I really tried to get through episode 2 and I kind of stopped towards the end.
You said something about the dialogue. You feel like it was too much?
I feel like I feel like a lot of the dialogue was unnecessary.
Like they were talking too much, like the girl who talks too much, I won't shut up.
Which okay. So here's the only thing about that though is, I talk a lot. I'm a talky bitch. my family's all very talkative people. So I don't know. It felt like
interesting,
just extra dialogue that wasn't really
necessary.
I don't know when he was talking to, when Mr. Basil was talking to his dad. I was like, we could literally cut out like 90% of this. And I think they're doing the dialogue to be funny because they're supposed to be like witty and cool and snappy and whatever.
It's been so long since I've seen it. I don't remember details.
How long ago did you watch it?
When it first came out.
Oh, like, and that was a while ago,
that
right?
That first week I binged it.
Oh, dang.
Because I was so excited for it.
I don't know. It just seemed kind of redundant.
Interesting. And I feel the need to watch it now since you liked it and you didn't.
Yeah, I I'm upset because like I want to like it. I love Rachel Brosnahan. I do see very clearly that she's obviously very talented because to be able to keep up that accent and those like character quirks that she has with her hands and with her face, it's very talented. Did she win the Emmy? She did win the Emmy,
she
right?
Did.
Yeah. Okay, so I see that. I definitely do see how that is a solid. That's a solid Emmy performance. Yes. She does great. She does great. She did great. She is great. But as a show overall, I'm like not into it.
Interesting.
Which I think I told you guys not on the podcast that I was thinking I was thinking of going back. I can't talk today. Going back and watching parts of Mad Men.
Oh, yeah.
Because Mad Men is sort of the same thing in the same time period. And not necessarily dealing with the same themes, but it does have certain storylines that overlap. Like being a woman and being divorced in the 60s. Things like that. Mm-hmm. So I'm interested to see if I go back and watch that, will I be as disinterested or as upset with the show as I am with this one? Because I started watching Mad Men when it came out in 2007.
I'm sorry. I kind of spaced out there for a second replying to an email.
Rude.
Did we already cover that we may have talked about this on a previous podcast?
Yes.
Okay.
Because I think we were talking about it when we were just talking.
I think we were talking about it during the Emmys.
Did we?
After a conversation we had for a while. But anyway, I'm going to bring up again. I wonder if you're going to be biased because there's already characters that you have affection for.
Well,
are you going to be able to remove yourself enough to be fully judgmental?
Right. And I was watching, there's a YouTube channel, I can't remember what it's called, but that it does like in-depth like metaphor analysis of TV shows and stuff. Mm-hmm. And so it brought up the fact that one of the characters on there, which is one of the, I mean, she was a supporting actress, but it was really a female. She was one of the women that actually had like a storyline that went all the way through from the first season to the last season. If instead the show was not actually about Don Draper, but she was the secret lead. Mm. Like she was the secret protagonist. Have you ever heard that before?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that it actually wasn't about him. Not exactly.
Yeah.
That it wasn't really about him because he was a dying breed of man that was not going to be self-sufficient anymore. Wasn't going to be able to have a place really in the new world, in like the changing world. And that she really, because she's the one who ends up with success and everything, and he kind of ends up with his life in shambles. That she was actually the secret protagonist, that this whole story actually revolved around her. Which, after I watched it, I was like, that does make sense. Because the only other person who had as much screen time or as much, not even screen time, but as much like character growth was her. Everybody else kind of did have an arc, but hers in a lot of ways mirrored his. But they were both going in opposite trajectories. Like he was going down and she was going up.
Okay. Interesting.
I feel like that may have been conscience. Like they were purposefully doing that.
Right.
But they still chose to advertise it as his story. So I feel like saying that at the end is kind of like us trying to justify Breaking Bad, Game of Thrones bad writing. Like, well, maybe they're doing it for this reason.
Oh, good point.
Right. No, but it was like, it wasn't the story, the writers, creators weren't saying any of this. This was just like some
fan video.
Yeah. Like comic book girl.
Comic book.
Yeah. It was like someone who just analyzes the show. And so like, if I really took the time to like break down the stories and the seasons and blah, 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 whatever, that I would pay attention to this.
Do you think the writers did that intentionally? Like, do you think?
I don't know, because I don't think the writers were very like pro women necessarily, because all of their female characters,
everything she did matched what he was doing, but they were walking the opposite direction. I feel like that's purposeful.
Well, because she was, it makes sense if you watch the show, she was his, when it starts, there was someone else that you would think is his protege, that you would think is the new up-and-coming Dawn. But when you go back and look at it, she's the one who ended up with more success than the other guy did. And they both made it to the end of the show, but made it in different places. Like, she was successful as Dawn used to be. Does that make sense? I feel like this doesn't make sense because, like, you guys haven't seen the show.
I know what you mean.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I was thinking of doing that just because Mad Men's on, it's on Netflix and I have the DVDs anyways. So, I might do that and see how that goes. How you feel. Because really, like, okay, Don's a shithead and I hate him. And mostly I was there for Peggy and Joan. And then, like, everybody else is just adjacent. But Peggy and Joan were really, like, the ones I stuck it out for. Because I know towards the end it was just getting messy. It wasn't as good as it was in the beginning.
Happens.
But anyways, The Next Meg.
So Joy saw The Meg today.
Because I had nothing better to do with my time. Because I was waiting for my fucking car to get fixed again.
I think you need a new car, Joy.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm working on, okay? Jesus.
Work harder.
Don't go shopping.
Work faster.
Don't buy clothes.
Wave that magic wand.
Everybody's getting murdered today. It's so great. I love that.
What kind of person is swimming in the ocean on their way to defeat a shark and sings, "Just keep swimming, just keep swimming." First of all, okay, so they mentioned this in, okay, so I should say that I listened to the How Does This Get Made podcast as well, and they did the Meg, a review of the Meg, and Nicole Byers says it. She's like, how do they not get sued? Like, Disney is not nice.
Right.
Like, Disney should own that.
Did they like pay Disney to use that?
To be fair, I probably thought Disney's never gonna watch this, so it's
probably
fine.
Not. it was so like
ridiculous.
It was so ridiculous. It was so popcorn movie. It really which was. Is fine because I had popcorn. but I think for $5 it was worth it, just because it was so entertaining.
The way they get him out of his funk is like, well, your ex-wife's trapped, so he saves her and they never see her again.
Yeah, like, you just see her at the very end. And she's like, oh, I'm here. She was just in the hospital the whole time.
And I love how like him and the, I don't know her name, the doctor lady.
Not Mylin. Mylin is her daughter, right?
I don't remember. But the daughter's like, hey, are y'all gonna date? Hey. Like the whole
right?
Thing, she's like,
the literally, they're literally like winking, nudging. Yes. Literally wink, nudge. And his friend is also like, hey, she's single. You're single. You guys should get together.
Oh my God.
It was so funny.
So stupid.
I was loving it. It was so funny. It was so cheesy. Love me some cheese.
And I kept thinking, like, why isn't anybody watching a little girl? She's running around the ship like.
There's no supervision.
Like, I don't understand.
How is she being educated? Like, I don't know. Understand. She just hangs around really intense scientists, so she's smart.
I guess.
By osmosis.
Osmosis Jones?
Yes. The little blue dude.
Yeah, it was a ridiculous movie. But also, when I love how they're like, you shoot lights, it's going to get you. And then they go in the deep ocean with that huge thing full of lights. Hello? What?
Right? Like, do you not have some sonar radar or something? I don't know anything about submarines.
It's like all windows. So, like, it's all going to crack and break.
Right.
Oh, that's so stupid. But anyways.
Also, yeah, Ruby Rose is a terrible actress. I already knew this. Right? I already knew this, but scrunching up your face like this.
Okay.
It's not real crying.
Horrible.
Oh my God.
And they totally
this is
like,
the worst crying face I've ever seen. It's worse than Jennifer Lawrence.
Racist jokes in there, but they like call each other on it. Like,
right?
They're like,
when he was like, I can't swim.
Guy, like, I'm not going to swim in that, or I can't do that. And he calls her on her dreads or whatever.
Yes.
Or something. And then they're like gone. She like, her hair's wet and then like wrapped again.
And then they come back in the end.
Ruby Rose is an awful actress.
Also, she only had, because we had talked about it before, she only has, like, one face. So it's the smirk. She's either, like, attitude smirky or flirty smirky or, like, just smirky smirky.
It's funny when the doctor went out he's like, I'm going to distract the shark and you go whatever. Mm-hmm. I was like, don't save her.
Don't save her. You're she a ain't doctor. Worth it. You're a doctor. You're you useful. Need you.
What is Ruby Rose doing?
She just turns on the lights.
Does.
She was just a light switch girl.
Oh my God. I was like, don't sacrifice yourself.
Oh my God. Like, I do love that it was a nice good representation cast for the most part. Like, there was white people, there was Asian people, there was black people.
Because that female lead was very Asian and she had her accent and everything and she was doing
a great job. I was very happy for her. When I thought she was gonna die, I was pissed because I was like, you're gonna kill my only woman of color here. Are you serious? You better not. She better not.
She really was the only woman of color. You're right.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about that.
So there was
that.
Only three women. Two of them were white. And then, well, yeah, her daughter. But I mean adult women of color. So her and her daughter. And then the ex-wife and Ruby Rose. The
ex-wife.
So. Oh my God. But it was a nice, diverse room. And I was like, oh, okay. I'm okay with this. I'll pay movie. I'll pay money to see movies like this. Even if they're trash, I'm going to enjoy this popcorn trash.
So, okay. So whenever the Meg swims up to that beach with all those people on it.
Seriously.
What country is that? I don't remember.
Oh, Europe.
Sounds like you were about to say Europe.
Well, some Asian country because they're all.
I think it was Indonesia. I think it was Indonesia.
Indonesia. Indonesia. Anyways, because they're on like rafts in the water, like in the middle of the ocean, they're on rafts and they're just kind of standing up. I'm like, that is very dangerous and scary.
But I mean, I guess if they grew up near the beach, they all know how to swim very good. Because everybody was like floating and like the water is like 20 feet
deep. But it was like, you know how malls are crowded at Christmas time? That's what it was like in the water. It was really weird.
That's how the beach gets when it's crowded. Mm-mm. Like in no South thinking. Padre.
I don't like it.
It's that crowded when it's busy. Like
you can't even swim.
No, you can't.
Like if I can't flap my arms in the water next to me, what is the point?
And there's nowhere to sit along the beach. Like it's fucking annoying.
No, I hate all of that.
So that's why you go not when it's busy. Not on the weekend. Not on a Saturday or Sunday.
Which is the weekend.
I thought that included Friday.
Weekend is a weekday. Technically. Mm-hmm. Whatever. So, did you like it or were you like...
It was fun. Okay, all right. To be able to kill 2 hours, it was fun.
Oscar worthy?
Maybe the popular Oscar.
Oh, it's not going to do anymore. Thank God.
Oh, yeah. I'm so glad they kicked that out and they were like, no.
Thank Jehovah.
Do you want to save West Side Story for later?
Maybe we can talk about it. He's going to be in it.
Ansel
I can never say his name right. Ansel Elgort.
And I was like, I don't know how to feel about this.
I'm okay with it.
I don't really have an opinion. I don't care.
I've heard him sing. He's decent.
I haven't heard him sing. What is he singing?
I've just heard him like goofing around singing, but he's got like
Do you hang out with him?
He's a DJ.
You saw him yesterday afternoon?
He's a DJ, though.
BFFs. Totally having dinner last night.
Oh, my God. Whatever. And he just pulled his guitar out and sang to you? Oh, he's got like
the Frank Sinatra type voice.
Okay. All right.
Kind of like Chris Pine.
When did Chris Pine sing? I'm lost. Oh, yeah. Okay. I'm totally
okay with being surprised by actors who can sing. I love that, actually. Like, Chris Pine, I was not ready for that.
Right.
Also, in Enchanted with James Marsden, I was not ready for that either.
Yeah.
It was gorgeous.
Enchanted is so underrated. Like, Enchanted is amazing.
And I had never seen Mamma Mia or anything like that. So when I saw Amanda Seyfried sing, I was like, this is beautiful. So I love being surprised by people's voices. So, I mean.
He's a decent enough actor.
I don't know. I feel like it's popular to hate him. It's like, I don't know, popular to not like him for some reason. That's the feeling I get. But it's weird because I don't hate him, but I don't like love him either. I'm neutral about it.
Right. I'm like, that's why I was like, I don't know how to feel about it. Cause I'm like, I don't think I like him, but I don't think I don't like him.
I think it depends on who's going to be Maria.
Yeah. I think the big, casting is going to be Anita and Maria and Riff.
Yeah.
And Bernardo.
That couple works together will be how I feel.
Exactly. I want to see that chemistry. I want to see how that works. Really, I care about the Puerto Ricans. So what's his name? EW since they announced Ansel Elgort yesterday, EW put up an article that was like, who would we cast as everybody else? And they said Anthony Ramos as Bernardo. And I was like,
Yes.
Who's that?
Yes. He was in Hamilton. He was at John Lawrence and, Philip. And
I'm John Lawrence in the place to be.
He's great. He has a great voice, great attitude. I feel like for that role specifically, like he'd be really good.
Yeah.
He'd be really good.
It's funny because I've never really seen him be like hard.
Mm-hmm.
And Bernardo is very hard and he's just a hard man.
He's very
man.
Strict.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that would be interesting. But yeah, I think the rest of the casting is key.
Yeah, and I read that they were trying to find someone really more like unknown.
Yeah, they did Maria. Open calls for
nationwide.
Yeah,
where was our invite? Why don't we go?
Yeah, I could have totally been Maria. Yeah.
Anita like no, has
I
my w- name written.
I would want to be Anita. I don't want to be Maria. I feel like Anita's much more a fun role to me.
Just more I want to be in America.
Yeah. Okay, I'll be in America.
America. Oh my God, guys. Let's
be in America. America. So yeah, we'll see how that turns song. Out.
Guys,
I wouldn't let's mind record. Being Maria. She's got pretty songs.
No, she's fine. But I mean, I...
She literally has I feel pretty.
I just she's like literally pretty. I like Anita's that character.
Yeah, I feel as like a, that one would be more fun.
As an actress, I feel like Anita is
it's a meteor role.
It's a meteor role and I that's attractive to
I
me.
Would love it.
I'll play Maria too, whatever, but I'm just saying like if I had to choose.
Yeah, I'm excited about this. I'm hoping they do it justice. Yeah. I'm hoping they do it right.
You know what's so. Funny? I think in the time that we are TV wise and movie wise, it's almost impossible for them not to do it justice.
You would think.
I mean, yes, but it's harder to get away with it is what mm-hmm. I mean.
Yeah, I think he knows that if he doesn't cast the right people, yeah, no one's
he's not
coming.
An idiot. Steven Spielberg is not stupid.
And he's already called come out and said like I'm doing this open call. He's very specific yeah. about wanting more actual Puerto Ricans if he could get them.
Yeah, because Anthony Ramos is actually Puerto Rican. Exactly. So that Puerto would work Rican, perfectly. Yeah.
So I'm all here for
I'm not
it.
Puerto Rican, but I'll play it.
Can Justina Machado play Anita? Does she sing?
She's too old.
Bless I don't her. Care. Love I'll put her in it. Be there. Do it. Put that purple
be the
dress
off-screen
on.
Off-screen mama.
So up? Some people were like, can Rita Moreno just reprise her role? Right? I'd be okay with that.
Can they do like a I'd flash? Can they add a scene where it's like flash forward and it's like her as an old lady and it's actually Rita Moreno dancing? That'd be amazing.
It that should be. Awesome. She should at least get a cameo, like sitting on the sidewalk.
I would think she
yes,
would be.
Or like being one of the moms of the family, or like oh in the dress shop or something. Oh,
those are. And always, I don't always like when women. They add new songs to stuff, but if they give she her a song, there. I'm okay with that.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know if they will because it's Leonard Bernstein and he did.
Well, does he have to be alive for them to write more music? No. They wrote new music for Beauty and the Beast, and one of those guys is dead too, isn't he?
They did.
What yeah, Evermore is not in the musical or the Broadway show.
Oh.
But Alan Menken is still there, and he's kind of like
oh yeah,
the mm-hmm. name. Maybe if Sondheim comes in and does it, because he wrote the lyrics.
I just want Rita Moreno to sing to me. That's all I want. I don't care. I'll write it if you need
sing
to.
Sing to me, Rita.
I don't know. I'm kind of anti-new song.
No, no. Like I said, it depends.
I feel it depends on how they do it, though.
Because Evermore,
because
was,
Evermore
really great.
Was really great.
It was really good.
And
I didn't care for it.
There's a friend of mine that does like choir and stuff like that, and that's in his range. And he's like, I'm really glad that there's a song now that is a good audition song and in the range for a lot of guys that don't have, you know, tenor voices.
I feel like it's a hit or miss to me. It's either good or it's not.
Favorite, and neither was the one in Les Mis.
Which one was the new one?
The one where he sings in the carriage with Cosette.
Oh, it's fine.
I blocked that out because that storyline was lame.
What was lame about it?
I don't like...
White people?
She hates little girls being saved from from being enslaved.
No, I...
She's joining Kanye West in her pro-slavery.
Oh, no, that's not funny.
That's not...
No, that's not funny.
Let's back that up.
Was that Amanda Seyfried?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't care for Amanda Seyfried in that.
You didn't?
No.
But guys, speaking of Les Mis, Saturday at the band competition...
They did Les Mis?
They did Les Mis. And there was two singers. They did...
I hate when they sing in band.
The little girl got up there and sang a little bit of... Castle on a Cloud, and then the band came out and they played Master of the House.
I love Master of the House.
One Day More. They played a bunch of stuff, and then there was a little snippet of On My Own, and then they also played Blood Red, the Blood of Angry Men.
Mm-hmm. Red and Black, right?
I think so. And then they went into One Day More to finish it off, and I was like. They made it onto finals, and I was like, yes, I get to say it again.
That's cool.
So what do you think about Kathleen Kennedy getting 3 more years in her contract?
I sent that to you. Oh, my God.
I read it.
Well, I'm sure you read it, but I was like.
I don't know if it's that they trust that she can do the job or that no one else wanted to take the job. You know what I
I'll
mean?
Take it. I don't know how the fuck to do that.
Because it's a mess, and it's probably a lot of work to fix and to get in there and, you know, get down to business, and I don't think anybody wants to do
Let's get down to business.
I can see her saying, like, you know, this mess started while I was here. Let me finish it.
Okay. Let me finish my mess.
Let me clean up. Let me.
Yes, they're giving her a second chance, which is.
I don't want to throw this onto somebody.
Right.
You're like, here, I fucked up. Now you clean it up.
All right, that's true. Yeah.
I hope that's what it is.
That's what I'm going to say it is.
I mean,
let's ask Kathleen Kennedy. And here's our special guest.
Bring, bring. Hello. I hope that's what it is, that she wants to fix what she's messed up. And I do like that Star Wars is getting like a break. Like, they're not going to release movies, at least not the offshoots of it, just like the main whatever. Uh-huh. Because I think people not going to see Solo was a huge indication, like, oh,
too much.
We need to fix something.
Right.
This is, something's amiss.
Well, they killed off Thandie Newton, so.
Because she was so integral to the whole universe, right?
No, but I mean, I went to that
movie. Was she in Solo?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, thanks for the spoiler.
Wow, Joy.
What I didn't know you hadn't seen it.
Yes, you did.
I don't know did these she? Things.
I'm really excited about that. You're not missing much.
You're really not. No,
I don't want to say it's full on garbage, but it's pretty close.
Dang. That's harsh. I feel like the first 30 minutes I could have done without.
I just don't.
The whole like military war part of it. I was like this.
I think the only thing I liked about the movie was the chemistry between Han and Chewie.
That was cute.
That was literally it.
And then Lando.
I almost said Childish Gambino. Donald Glover is so wasted in that movie.
Yeah.
Also, like, because Lando's so fucking cool. Lando's cool. Like, he's got those capes and he's, that's his thing. And I mean, it's like such a joke in that movie. Like, oh, look at Lando and his capes. No.
When he's literally
he's the fucking cool. Guy what are you doing? Get out.
Yeah.
That made me so mad. I was like, oh my God, why are they doing this to him? Why are you reducing him to this? Why?
Yeah.
I don't even, like, I'm not a huge Lando fan anyway. Like, I'm not, like, a fangirl for him. But the way they just did him dirty, I did not like. I was not a fan of that.
Are they doing everybody dirty in every
and
movie?
And then that female robot was so annoying.
The what?
Ugh. The female android. She would not. Oh.
I liked her.
She was so annoying. I was like, can she shut up? When she died, I was like, thank God Waller-Bridge. She did.
Yeah.
She's great. I liked her in that.
Oh, well, she's fine. That but,
was,
like, the robot.
That was a... I think that was like one of the parts that I was like okay with.
Really?
Yeah.
Ugh, I couldn't do it. She was talking too much.
Sprinkle that cheese. Sprinkle that parmesan.
Oh God.
Anything else? Chit chat movie TV. Chop. I can't wait for our next one because we're gonna talk about some shit. Woo.
What? What are you talking about?
Never mind.
I think it's time to call this.
Calling it.
Time of death, 6:09.
Oh, very somber end.
I was watching Grey's Anatomy this morning.
Oh. Are you not?
Right now.
What season are you on now?
Oh, I just popped on season 57. 11.
Oh.
Just picked a random season. Was like, that's where I'll start.
I thought you were season watching 85. It consecutively.
I was, and then I stopped, and I kind of picked up where I left off. So.
Oh, okay. Mm. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Cool. All right, guys.
That's our show.
Peace.
Bye.
Bye.